Hi, everybody. I'm Deacon Dave.
And I'm Layperson Lisa.
Welcome to the Deacon Dave and Layperson Lisa show. Welcome back, everybody. This week, we have decided that we want to talk about the word metanoia. And I'm going to leave that to our linguistic expert, Layperson Lisa, to define for us later using the brilliance of the many popes of the past. But I think, Lisa, you were first going to start with good old Saul, who changed to Paul in his story of conversion.
And we're going to hear about him on Friday in the Mass reading.
Oh, very nice.
So Paul was a persecutor of Christians. He tormented followers of Jesus, and even his actions led to many people's deaths. So he was on his way to Damascus with some of his buddies, trying to persecute some more Christians, and he had a flash of light where he fell to the ground, and then he heard a voice say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And when he asked who it was, he couldn't see anything. So he asked who was saying this, and Jesus said, "It is I, Jesus." So his
posse,
thank you, very good. had to lead him to Damascus. And when he got to Damascus, he was told to look for this guy who was a follower of Jesus named Ananias. And Ananias was scared of Saul because he heard of all the terrible things he had done. So he's like, I don't want to keep this guy away from me.
Yeah.
So Ananias received a message from Jesus saying, "Hey, you know what? Saul has changed. I need you to lay hands on him and baptize him." So that is what he did. And the rest is history. Saul became Paul and became one of the greatest disciples of Jesus.
And he was no longer blind, right, when he
received
the Holy Spirit?
Yes. And some scales had grown and covered his eyes, which is why he couldn't see. So once he was baptized, they fell off and he could see. It's kind of like the blind people that Jesus heal in the Gospels when, you know, they can see. It's like a spiritual relief of blindness.
Yeah, we were just talking about this last night with our RCIA group, that so often we can be spiritually blind, and not realize that we're not following Jesus in the way that we should.
Right.
So tell us about metanoia. What is this word that you've come up with, Lisa?
That I've come up with
for today's podcast.
Oh, okay. So I think that was your idea, actually. But okay. In any case, metanoia has many meanings. It's basically a change of heart. A state of thinking differently. Basically, a person is saying, "I've changed my mind. I've had some sort of encounter with Jesus, and my affirmative response to his call is me saying yes and radically changing my life to follow him."
So were those all quotes from different popes?
No, that was just a summary of an article I read. But let's quote Pope Paul VI. So metanoia is a change of heart, which is an ultimate and total change and renewal of the entire person, of his opinions, judgments, decisions, which takes place in him in the light of the sanctity and charity of God, which were manifest to and in Jesus and communicated fully to the person by Jesus. So basically, Jesus is calling us by name. And metanoia is not just a one-time thing, it's a constant, continuous change. So basically, it's a resolve to change one's heart to follow Jesus. And we often have to reject things of this world in order to do that.
When you think about Paul, most of us aren't going to live up to who Saul was in terms of maybe how we have denied Jesus or not lived out the life that we were supposed to, but we certainly have in our life probably done things that were counter to what God would want us to do. And in most cases, as you're suggesting, Lisa, we're not going to just get struck by a flash of light like Paul.
Right.
And I wonder this, What do you think he's thinking? He's blind. He's just encountered the God. And now he's being led to Damascus. I can't imagine what was going through his mind. Do you have any thoughts on what that would be?
I don't know. I'm sure he was scared. He couldn't see. He didn't know if they were actually taking him to Damascus or if they were taking him somewhere maybe where he would be persecuted. I don't know, but
it's really interesting because I was reading an article from someone today, and oftentimes God wants to take us somewhere and we can sense that he wants us to have a change of heart and to move in a different direction, but we're like, okay, God, that's can you tell me exactly where you're taking me?
Right.
Because right now I can't see.
We don't like the unknown.
Yeah, the unknown or the loss of control.
So,
in that same sense, we can experience what Saul did on the road to Damascus, knowing that the Lord has called him in a profound way, and he's not sure quite how it's going to happen yet. And the same thing is true of us.
Yeah.
The Lord is constantly calling us to have that change of heart, to move to him. And we can let our own fear, insecurity, desire for control, wanting to do our own agenda, to all interfere with that.
Yeah, prohibit us from taking a step towards him.
Exactly. So what are some things you think we can do, Lisa, that would help us, I guess, to entertain those callings of God to help manifest that change of heart he's wanting us to
have?
Oh,
so you know what? It's kind of timely. So I started doing this last night. It's a novena to surrender to Jesus.
Nice.
So yeah, it's you have to say 10 times, Jesus, I surrender to you. I don't have to worry. Something like that. I can't remember exactly. But like, don't worry about anything. Just surrender to Jesus.
And it's funny you should say that. And this is how the Holy Spirit works, because this is nothing we talked about talking about.
Right.
In that article I was reading today, she talked about how difficult it was to surrender, because there's always some things she was wanting to hold on to. Okay, God, I'll give you 70%, and then 80%. And then as she just prayed more and more to surrender to God, it was in that time that freedom and that joy began to occur. We have to ask God to help us to surrender, as you're suggesting, by using that prayer. And if it's almost like there's not a breaking point, but a watershed moment in anybody's conversion where they see the light and they start running towards it.
Yeah,
they start
full force.
Yeah, the beauty and the joy. And I know for me, when I wasn't even Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord was placing my wife in my life and my son in my life, and I was doing everything I could to run the other way because it wasn't in accordance with my agenda.
Right.
And finally, I had that moment where, okay, I'm going to go to RCIA.
Mm-hmm. What caused you to do that?
It was just my son he had been baptized.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be a part of the sacraments with him.
Ah.
So Jesus, a fish just jumped right in front of us off the pier, everybody. I just wanted to be a part of the sacraments with him.
Oh, that's very cool.
So my son, at a tiny little age of one or two, led me into the church.
Nice.
Right. So what about your own conversion story, your own metanoia? Or do you want to share some other popes?
Well, I just want to say this quote from St. Benedict the 16th, because you were talking about freedom. It's Pope Benedict says that Christ gives us the courage to make the break from convention, peer pressure, false standards and ideals, so to gain true freedom, the one the world cannot offer. The courage to make the break is metanoia.
Wow, that courage. And where do we get that courage from? We are sacramental people. And in order for us to, because even people that have been Catholic all their life, or people that have been going to church, we are still all called to that ongoing conversion.
Yes, it's an ongoing process.
Right. And I think it's fueled by, I'm going to say two things.
Yeah.
Number one, the Eucharist.
Okay.
Being open to the Eucharist. And number two, reconciliation.
Yes.
Because reconciliation calls to mind those ways that we're entrenched in the world, that we're entrenched in sin, and other people, just pressure, everything you just mentioned. Reconciliation frees us from that.
my conversion point. And after Chrissy, I started going to daily mass, and I started going to reconciliation frequently. And, you know, maybe in the past, I didn't necessarily agree with teachings of the church, but as I grew in my faith and I grew in my love for Jesus, then I would read about the teachings of the church and I would understand the why behind it, and it made so much sense.
It does. And so often, as we grow in our faith and we encounter those areas where we don't necessarily, as you said, agree with church teaching, or there's a part of our life where we know that we're not living it out the way we should, that if we are if we really invest ourselves in reconciliation and also allowing God to, I think a lot of times we try to take care of the struggles ourselves.
Right. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Everybody just stop it.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. Ask God to come in.
Right.
We've said this before.
Right.
And let Him enter into the struggle with you. Because we were just talking the other day about sin and how it's turning away from God. But even when you turn away from God, well, God is everywhere.
Right.
So God is, even when we're turned away from Him, is constantly trying to draw us back. Mm-hmm. Sanctifying grace, that connection that we have by virtue of our baptism, to always want to draw us back.
Yep.
And when we start turning towards Him, then He starts pulling the slack, and we can go faster.
Right.
I don't know. I just made that up.
That's pretty good.
So I think beautiful conversion stories. And why don't we do this? We did this last week. So why don't we ask our listeners, Lisa?
Yes, on our Facebook page.
To share their conversion story or their ongoing conversion story,
yeah,
on our Facebook page.
Excellent idea.
And then I want to ask our listeners one more thing, Lisa.
Okay.
Let us know if you would like us to start doing our podcast. We'll still have the podcast, but we'll start doing them on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
If you would like to see us do it that way, just let us know on our Facebook page, and we'll respond accordingly. If you don't want to see our faces,
you might see it on there anyway.
Right. We'll just see how it goes if y'all want that.
Yeah.
So any other final words from you, Lisa, on conversion and metanoia?
No, it is an ongoing process. And we always strive to get closer to Christ.
Yeah, don't ever get comfortable where you are,
right,
because we can always grow closer,
yes,
to God.
Yes, because we're all called to be saints.
Exactly. So if we can be, I did the exactly. I think that's the first time this podcast.
Hey.
But we're called to get as close to Him as we are when we receive Him in the Eucharist.
Ah, yes.
To become one with Him. And I hope that soon we will all be able to do that.
Yes.
Well, we've gone way over today, Lisa, like 13 minutes.
Uh-oh.
I'm Deacon Dave.
I'm layperson Lisa.
See you next time.
Bye.